But thank you so much for being here. As I was thinking about this, you know, this morning, I started thinking about we're ending a year and coming into a new year. I always sort of look back and think about what God did in the past year or some things that happened. So I went in and did some searching around and sort of recap some of the things that happened in 2014 around the world and our nation. And, you know, we had the Ebola scare that took place. It was all over the news, hysteria about that. We had the terrorist ISIS group over in Iraq and Syria wreaking havoc, hearing about a lot of the evil that was happening over there. You hear about the war in Ukraine with Russia and them trying to, you know, annex part of the country and different things like that. We had the Malaysian jetliner that went down earlier in the year and just disappeared. And I hear there's another plane that's missing this morning. We need to be praying for those people as well. And at the end of the service, help me remember to pray for them as well. You know, they had terrorist attacks in Nigeria. I'm giving y'all all the morbid, sad stuff. Taking, you know, hostage a bunch of young girls. You know, you hear Israel going into Gaza and having some more fighting going on there. So there's been a lot happening in the world. In America, we've had, you know, what happened in Ferguson with the riots and the racial tensions in our country, which we need to pray that God will heal our nation and heal our country and bring us together, which can only happen through the gospel and Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen through social, as much as we want to, you know, as much as good things that you do with social programs and whatnot, it's going to be the gospel changing the heart of an individual so that we can love one another. You know, we need the gospel to go forth like never before. There was domestic violence in the NFL. You know, in the NFL, people ever, you know, who watched the sports. You know, we had some of that stuff happen. We had the midterm election, so we had to listen to a bunch of politics this year. And there's always a lot of politics, but it was in heightened due to the election. We had the death of Robin Williams, everybody, a beloved comedian, shockingly. Suicide, I believe they said, and things like that happened. We also had the death of Maya Angelou, is that how you say? Angelou, who is a famous poet and author. You know, her passing happened this year as well. On a lighter note, giving you all some of the heart, but on a lighter note, man, they landed a spacecraft on a comet, the European Space Agency. How crazy is that? That stuff, I don't know what it is about space, the final frontier. It sort of interests me a little bit. When I hear about, you know, I love looking at it, but NASA puts those Mars pictures up with that rover. That, to me, just is fascinating, God's creation, that God created all these planets. I mean, he's creative. I'd give God credit for that. He is creative like crazy. It's amazing. So that's just an amazing thing to me, you know, what man has been able to accomplish just by that. You know, Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl last year. Looks for all the sporting fans. Looks like they're going to win it again this year the way they're playing. No? Okay. Excuse me, the Patriots guy down here in the front thing. For all you baseball fans, San Francisco Giants won the World Series. I haven't been keeping up with that too much. And in basketball, I think San Antonio Spurs won the NBA, which I could care less about any of those teams. I didn't have a good sports year last year, in 2014. So, yeah, Mark, you can stroke my head later and tell me it's going to be all right. You know, Germany won the World Cup, which totally upset Selma and Luis Braga, who are not here today. They probably knew I was going to mention that, the Brazil over Brazil and stuff like that. Top grossing film of 2014 was Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't even know what that is. I didn't see that one. The second one was The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 1. I have to confess, I did see that one. And it came out at the end of the year, so it might would have been more in 2014 than it did if it had come out later. And then Captain America, Winter Soldier, came out number 3. I didn't see Captain America. I need to get that one. I need to watch that one, though, because I sort of like the first one. Wasn't there the first one that came out? Yeah, yeah. Tell you how I'm keeping up with all the movies and different things that are taking place. So that was 2014, just a little snapshot. There's so much things I could have mentioned, so many things I could have said. But what does God have plans for us in 2015? Gas prices have come down. If you're in Texas, you probably don't like that. But anyway, as far as North Carolina, for the rest of us, So there's a lot of things that have happened, both in the internationally, United States, and many of us could probably get up and give testimony about what God has done in your life in 2014. And every time I come in, the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to share or preach at this the last Sunday of the year. And each time I come and I go to God and I say, Lord, can you give me just a few points of what I need to be looking forward to in 2015? You know, what are you saying? And so I feel like the Lord, and so each year the Lord's been faithful to give me, you know, a couple of points of things that I think for me personally, and I hope some of it would be a benefit to you. But I'm going to share it, I think, going forward in 2015. One thing that's important to know is God is the God of the future. You know, no matter how, when you think about the future, it's almost scary because of everything that we've seen. But the God is a God of the future. And God, through Jesus, has a destiny and a purpose for us and for our life. And so today, my title of my sermon is Moving Forward in the Year 2015. So Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness toward us. And Lord, give us vision and hope, Lord, as we go forward into 2015. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The number one thing that I want us to remember is remember what the Lord has done in your life. The first thing to me was remember. That's what first I felt spot word God gave me was remember. Remember where I was. Now look at where I am today. Remember what it was like not having Jesus in my life. Whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30 minutes ago. Remember what Jesus did for us, as we talked about today in the communion. That Jesus died on the cross. That we just celebrated the incarnation of God into man. We celebrated the Trinity, the aspect of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God in the flesh. We celebrate that in Christmas, the most unique thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. No major religion claims that their guy, their leader, was God incarnate. But Jesus and all his followers said, I and the Father are one. Back in those days, when Jesus said that, that was a shocking statement. It was a shocking statement for him to say that in front of the Jewish leaders and people to say, I and the Father are one. That was unheard of and shocking. And they picked up rocks and were going to stone him because of it. Another time they said, it's not because of the miracles that we're going to kill you. It's because you yourself equate yourself equal to God. You make yourself out equal to God. And because of that, they were going to stone him and kill him because he is the unique once for eternity ever. This is going to happen. God incarnate in the name of Jesus Christ has formed you. And he preached and he came here and he walked among us. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He walked upon us and he was the only one that could take the sacrifice for man. Moses couldn't die for the sins of mankind. Elijah couldn't die for the sins of mankind. Nobody, David, none of those biblical characters could die for the sins of mankind. Only Jesus, because he was God incarnate. He was God walking on the earth. 100% man, 100% God. We need to remember not just what he's done, but remember what he's done in us. Remember where he's taken us. Remember when we were all empty and all alone and empty and needed something, and God met us in the most dire straits of our lives. You say, well, I don't have that kind of testimony. It doesn't matter. You're still empty without God. You're empty. I don't care if you say, I got my life is all together. Well, you're still empty. You still need Jesus. So the first thing God, I felt, put on my heart was to remember. Remember where you came from. Remember how he was there with you. Remember how he has been there for us. His sustaining grace has been upon us. Remember, Moses said to the people in Exodus 13, verse 3, Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by thy powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place. So think about how God brought you out and brought you into his kingdom. Brought you out of the sinful life. brought you into his kingdom, delivered you, set you free, brought you in, and is still setting you free, and is still working in your life. He hasn't abandoned you. You just get saved one day and everything stops and you found everything. No, that's just the beginning of the rest of your life. The beginning of God working. Remember where he brought you from and where you are today. Because if you remember where he's brought you from, you'll be thankful for what God has done. No matter how difficult life may seem right now, think about what it would be like without Jesus. Think about what it would be like without him in your life. Think about that. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. I've been young, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. God will never forsake us. He is always there for us. Think about God's preservation of us. Think about that. It says that he gave us the Holy Spirit as a helper who come to walk beside us. Psalm 63, verse 5 through 7 says, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. Corey Ten Boom said this. She said, memories are the key not to the past, but to the future. Your memories of where you came from, they propel you to the future. When you look and put it in Jesus' hand, it's not the key to the past, but it's the key to your future. No matter what's happened in your life or not happened in your life, whatever you remember so that it will propel you forward in God's calling and God's destiny and God's purpose and where God is taking you and where God is going to do in and through you in this coming year. Number two, the first one is to remember. Number two, understand that God has your future in his hands. Thinking of the future can be scary. Thinking of the future, wondering about things, but we have to have our hope in God that he is in the future. Even if you say, I don't feel like I'm so downtrodden today, I don't even feel like it. When Isaiah 42 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. So he is going to be with you in your highs and your lows. He's there for you. He's a God of the generations. He's a God who looks forward. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. He originally wrote this to the Jewish nation. Is where he originally wrote it. But I believe there's a principle here that we can take it from the Jewish, a principle for us individually, I believe, as a church, as a body. That he knows the plans he has for GCF Church. He knows the plans that he has for your family. He knows the plans that he has for the future. And I believe if we just trust in him, it says he'd give you a future and a hope. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world today, there's a hope that we have in God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. Is everybody in here predestined today? Yes. Did he call you? Yes. Did he justify you? Yes. And it said, and these he justified, he also glorified. You know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. We love God in here today?
Yes.
And those who are what? Called according to what? His purpose. We're all called according to his purpose. No matter what our job is, no matter where we are or wherever we're stationed in life, we have a calling from God. We have a calling of God. And many of us are walking in the calling that God has for us. Others are still not quite there yet. But no matter what your job is, your career is, your function, you are called of God to walk in that arena and to make a difference and be a witness in that arena wherever you are. wherever it may be, in education or business or whatever, athletics or nursing, whatever it may be, you're at home with your children, whatever may be it, you are called and chosen at this point in your life to fulfill what God has for you. Let me read you another quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed. He was a German theologian pastor who was basically martyred or executed by Hitler. The essence of optimism is that it takes no account of the present. Listen to this now. But it is a source of inspiration, a vitality, and a hope where others have resigned. It enables a man to hold his head high, to claim the future for himself and not to abandon it to his enemy. Do we just sit back and just say, the world is going to get so bad, let's just forget about it and wait to be raptured? Let's go get off in a cave somewhere and just hide out. That's not what my Bible says. But even Bonhoeffer here says, we don't need to abandon the future to the enemy. We may lose some battles as a Christian, but we can win the war. Jesus is going to win the war. Because he will come back one day. We may lose some battles along the way, but I believe that he is going to come back. And I believe there's going to be an outpouring of his spirit. I believe there's going to be millions upon millions of people getting saved. And from what reports that I'm hearing, that's happening right now. Around the world, people are getting saved. You don't hear that on the news. You hear about everything else on the news. But you're not getting a report about, somebody had a miracle happen over here and so, somebody, 10, 100 people got saved in this nation. And you hear about all the negative things that are happening. But from what I've gathered, people are getting saved around the world. And America's is no exception. We got to pray for America that God will continue. Pray for the world as it is, that we need an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But I love the way, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, to claim the future for himself, not to abandon it to his enemies. Let's go into 2015 with an expectation that God is going to do something special. Yes. That God is going to have his way. The third thing that God put on my heart was to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen. So what was the first thing that I said we needed to do? Remember. What was the second thing we needed to do? Understand what God has. The third thing is to listen. As I go into this year, I'm listening. Isaiah 42:9. This is a verse that God put on my heart. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm just telling you what I felt like the Lord put on my heart. It just said, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." I believe God, I'm trusting that as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as we listen to Jesus, he is going to direct us, and we're going to have open doors that like we've never had before. We're going to have opportunities in our jobs, careers, families to preach the gospel like never before. He's going to open up opportunities for GCF Church to continue to impact the city in a greater way. That we're going to see people getting saved. We're going to see people's lives being changed, transformed, delivered. It's not business as usual. I don't like business as usual. I want to hear what God is saying. And all of us need to seek the face of God. We need to listen to what God is telling us for our lives this coming year. We need to hear. I can't come to you and tell you this is what God's saying to you. I can tell you what God is saying to me. And God is telling me it's not business as usual. It's not business as usual. We need to believe God for some exciting things to happen. We need to believe God for our church corporately. We need to believe God for the body of Christ in Greenville. We need to believe God for America, and then we need to believe God for the world. I say believe God. Believe God that he will outpour his spirit in the lands and places that we never thought it was possible. That people can get saved from every culture, from every religion, can come into to know the name of Jesus. And all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is well able to go into every nation of the world and preach this gospel. And people get saved. It may not be me doing it. But there's missionaries from Philippines and all over the world that are going into places that me as an American can't go. But Jesus is going to do it. We need to believe and listen. And then we need to bring that down to us individually to listen to what God is saying. We need to read our Bibles. We need to seek the face of God going into 2015. We need to seek his face. God, speak to me. What do you want from my life 2015? How do you want to use me in 2015? Where do you want to take me? What door do you want to open for me in 2015? What business opportunity, family opportunity do you want me to have and open up for me in 2015. So we need to listen. So we need to remember what God has done for us. We need to understand that He has a calling on our life. And thirdly, we need to listen to what He's saying to us. I like this quote from Peter Drucker. He said, "The only thing we know about the future is that it will be different." It's going to be different. Now, ultimately, we know that there's going to be a return of Jesus Christ. And I've already got up here and said before that I believe, you know, we got a lot of work to do before He comes back and stuff. But I believe that we need to seek the face of Jesus and let Him speak to us and make ourselves available to be used by God this year. And I'm not saying we got to turn into Billy Graham. I'm just saying we just need to obey God in where He's placed us and what He wants us to do in the career, in the family, and where He has us, that He can use us. In conclusion, I want to just read this statement to you from the seminary I went to at Ranget. The chancellor wrote this in a pamphlet, and I've read this before, but it just seems so pertinent to this. And he read this from this Impact publication, and they sent out. Did you get that, Blake? You ought to be getting that. He sent this out in May of this year. I'll just read this paragraph. Just follow along with me because I feel like it's really pertinent to us. It said, "This world has seen wars, plagues, calamities, and all kinds of economic problems. But in all of those trials, God's people prevailed. The Lord will look after you and me. Jesus tells us several times in the scriptures, 'Fear not.' I think the greatest sin we can commit is to diminish the power of God by being afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. God holds the future. When you step out into the future, you step out into God. He has a plan for you."